So, Paul Tonko, I know you have the macro, but also the micro look at the way things are done. You're particularly interested in horse racing. Mm-hmm. How come?
Well, I think it's an important industry. It's one that's important to upstate New York. It has a huge economic ripple. There are great opportunities for research in terms of the horse industry with institutions like Cornell. And it's a sport that I think is very popular in the area. And I think the sport fans are very discerning.
Well, what do you think about all the, come on, Paul, let's get right down to it. What do you think about all those people who think we're exploiting the horsies?
Well, I think that compassionate response is where it should be. I think that, you know, the equine athlete is the cornerstone of this industry. Without a strong athlete protected and treated with a humane response, we don't have a sport.
And so I probably not have horses either, because why would anybody breed horses if they're not going to be allowed to race them?
Exactly. And I'm an animal lover, and I like the sport, and I'm all for a humane treatment.
What kind of animals do you have?
What kind of animals? Cats.
You have cats. Mm. Okay.
But a former dog owner.
Yeah. What'd you have?
Number of breeds through the years.
Different breeds, yeah.
But, you know, to this horse industry, I'm concerned that there's maltreatment of horses with the drugs that are administered to the horses. And, you know, have dealt with folks like the retired jockey, Chris McCarron, who left earlier than he had planned from the sport because of the situation at hand. And I think that we have got to have a standardized approach because there are horses crossing borders ever so frequently for various stakes races. The industry is familiar with that concept. I also believe that we need to have a whole lot of transparency and accountability for our actions. And the horse should not be seen as a pawn in the exercise and be used and misused. So
how do you feel about those horses outside of Central Park, you know, that for all these years have been taken, and now that you have a group of humanists or horsifists who don't want to let them be there anymore, say that's exploitation of the horses. The same reasoning there as here in horse racing?
Well, I think with the drugs administered for those in the racing industry, it's been particularly cruel. Some horses should not be racing. When they're racing, I think this is putting them at risk. We know it, and that knowing effort is what drives me to work with folks like Andy Barr from Kentucky, a Republican. We have a bipartisan support that we've put together. We've been working with organizations, with tracks, with folks from the industry, with the
jockey
club.
So can you pass something? Paul, I'm sorry for interrupting, but can you pass something?
I think we can. We've had a slight glitch with some competing legislative measures.
Right.
The one that's probably the most competitive to our formula is that its author, its sponsor, is retiring from the House.
But there are these groups who feel that the carriage horses out in Central Park should not be allowed. And your position on that?
Well, you know, I don't know enough about the statistics and how the treatment of the horses is conducted in that situation. When I do know that there's mistreatment or maltreatment, I insert myself. And I do see what's happening in the horse racing industry. And if we can have standards, if we can have strong administration of those standards, if we can have an outside agency be part of the mix so that there truly is independence reviewing this effort. I don't want it to be self-governed. So I think that we have a good balance. We've struck a good balance here that speaks to a panel that will determine which drugs can be administered, what the practice is, same-day medication. Those things will be addressed by this panel. And I think it's important.
Paul Tonko, I just want to get you in a little bit more politics for a moment. Our friend Chris Gibson is retiring from the House. He's a guy who believes in term limits. And Congressman Hanna is retiring, I believe.
Yeah.
So, Congressman.
No, so those are both neighbors to the 20th congressional district.
So can you? I mean, can you win those districts? I mean, can.
Yes, I think we can.
Can you find a good Democrat?
Absolutely.
Who will run? So far, I'm not impressed with what I'm seeing.
Okay. Well, let me just state that with redistricting of past, most recent past, with the 2010 redistricting, the newly designed district of Chris Gibson, that is represented by Chris Gibson, was in large measure part of Maurice Hinchey, Congressman Hinchey's district, right, and mine. So can a Democrat win? You put that logic at it, and you say, yes, it can.
Unless they took the Republican parts of both of those Democratic districts and said...
No, I think what those districts stated in voting experience was that people were willing to support a Democrat when, you know, they were in line with their thinking.
So how hard is it, Paul Tucker, to get yourself a good candidate in these districts?
Well, you know, I think that we have a very... I'm part of the recruitment team in the House.
I knew that.
And we meet very frequently. And there are people who look at all sorts of folks that are recommended. They reach to locals to provide some candidate names. And I'm impressed with the recruitment that's going on.
Well, you always say that
coast.
Every year. You tell me it's, every year you tell me you're going to win all those districts.
Yeah,
and then
I do.
You don't.
But this year I say it with intensity.
With intensity?
Yes.
Which is different than the other in integrity.
The integrity was always there. The intensity is heightened.
Yeah. So right now, President Obama really has had a major problem with his House, and especially with the House, and certainly with the Senate. Here we are. It's prediction time. It's the new year coming. Everybody makes predictions. You're going to say, I predict
that Hillary Clinton,
yes,
will be our next president.
Do you? Although what's very troubling to some people is that you see the polls, and she ain't beating a lot of people by a lot. You know, a couple of points in some cases, a couple of points behind. How can people
I think when the field is narrowed,
yeah,
when we're down to two major candidates, I think you'll see a lot of support for Hillary Clinton for president. I think her resume will draw that support. You know, having served as a United States senator,
did you see her on the debates?
As a Secretary of State. I missed this one.
Well, I saw it, and I thought she was terrific. I mean, I thought she was in command of the issues, that she was articulate, she was animated. It wasn't your grandmother's Hillary.
Right. Well, I think that the Republican field and Senator Sanders, for that matter,
yeah,
have made her a better candidate. They have pushed some issues, some in a negative direction, certainly in Senator Sanders' case, in a positive direction. And that is, I think, driven a response from Senator Clinton, from candidate Clinton, that has only strengthened her.
Amazing. We've been talking to Congressman Paul Tucker, our friend, Democrat from New York's 20th District, a guy who knows a lot about a lot, because here he is trying to pick the candidates who are going to run with a group of other people, and knows a lot about climate because he's a senior environmentalist in the House of Representatives, and he is, most of all, our friend who comes to visit us. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to join you and your listeners.